All right, let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start off with verse 8 and through verse 14. 5 through 14. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Excuse me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed may be manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. May the Lord add to the blessing of reading his word this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, that you will give me your words, that your light will shine through your words, through your word as in this scripture text, and that, Lord, each and one, every one of us will open our hearts and mind to your teaching this morning and give us understanding, and, Lord, that we may then take and use what we have received. We ask this in Jesus' name. Precious and holy name. Amen. Light and darkness. I think if you read your Bible very much, you find light and darkness is used a lot. It's used throughout the Bible. And one of the things until I started kind of looking at this text, to realize it's used in general for the same things, but not necessarily. Sometimes the Bible uses light and darkness to give us contrast to understand between good and evil, right? Light and darkness, and light is goodness, godliness, and darkness, of course, is evil. Sometimes light and darkness is used to kind of talk about the enlightenment of things, right? In other words, when you have light, you understand, you get it, right? And of course, darkness is that one when you don't understand, you don't see it, right? You're just blind to the understanding, especially in God's word. Also, light and darkness is also used as in the sense of that of salvation, right? Of course, those who are in light are saved, and of course, those who are in darkness are those who are not saved. And so, even though we think, you know, my first thought, well, light and darkness is used in the same thing in the Bible, the three that we see here used are actually, or that I mentioned here, are all in this very text that we have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. 1 Thessalonians says, chapter 5, says, verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the darkness. And of course, speaking of that we, in reference basically of what Paul is saying here, that we are sons of light. In other words, we are speaking of God as of light here in this case, right? And we are sons or his sons of that light. And we're not part of the darkness. Again, not a part of those who are enemies of God. Paul starts us off in verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Again, darkness here is used of one's salvation, right? We were once enemies of God. We were once not saved. We were in darkness, but now we are light of the Lord. And so here Paul points to the fact that where we once were, right? And I think sometimes we don't understand as we become believers in Christ how that really opened up, or maybe we do, you know, it opened up a whole new world in our lives, right? Of understanding, again, all these things about light and darkness. But most of all, we're part of the truth and no longer part of evil and part of darkness and unaware of what the situation were. We're suddenly in a new world, right? It's like walking into a room fully lit from outside in the darkness. So here Paul has pointed that we were once there, right? Was separated from God. That light that we have is a relationship, and we have eyes that open to that relationship. And now that we have this light, Paul then goes on to say, walk as children of light. Last part of verse 8 into 9, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is the goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So once we receive that light, once we are children of light, once we are walking or are believers of Jesus Christ, Paul is now saying that we need to walk in that light. And what does that mean? In essence, he's describing what we talked about earlier, that we get it. We get enlightenment. We understand what God is asking us to do. We're now, you know, the Old Testament, we often separate the Old Testament as the law, and now we're under grace. But what we really are, we're still bound by the law in the sense of we are to follow the law. The law is good. The law was there to guide us and direct us. None of us could fulfill it on our own. But the grace of God, what Jesus Christ did for us in dying upon the cross, we are now adopted children of God. But that doesn't mean that we abandon the things of God or the things what God wants us. But we do it in a sense of by our hearts and love for Christ. We're no longer trying to, if you would, earn our way for salvation, which you couldn't do at all. And so we're enlightenment. This light that we're to walk in is to understand is that what God wants of us. And Paul notes three or four of the things of the fruits of the Spirit. He says, in all godliness, righteousness, and truth. So these are some of the areas we are to walk in. That is the things of light, right? These are the, Paul's talking about, you know, what is good and what is bad. Well, these are the things that are three things. It's not all of them, of course, but what are good and in the eyes of God is goodness and righteousness and truth. But he also points out that in verse 10, he says, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And when we become children of the light and we start walking in the light, part of what we are doing in our journey or in our life as a Christian is to grow, is to be enlightened to the truth of the Bible, to understand more and more, hopefully each and every day, how we are to live and what God's expectation of us is. And though last week or chapter we talked about the verses we looked at, was talking about we need to mimic God, be imitators of God. And so, in essence, what we are walking in the light, we are to learn about who Christ is. It's that relationship and who Christ is and what he has wants of us and how we are to live and walk in this life, and right, and as Paul writes in verse 10, find out what is acceptable to the Lord, meaning that, you know, we are to continue on that journey, searching and seeking understanding, right? Hopefully, as you think about when you became a Christian, what you knew that then, what I can speak for myself, was very little, right? All I know, Jesus loved me, right? He accepted me as his, being a child of God. You know, I didn't have all the answers, and I still don't. But the fact is, as I've grown, I've tried to seek, what does God want for me in my life? How should I treat others? How should I live my life? And so this is why Paul says, find out what's acceptable to the Lord, right? Find out. You need to work and continue on that journey. Proverbs 21 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, right? In other words, how we live, living what Christ would want us to live, is more joyous to God than us doing sacrifice. And the Proverbs, in a sense, was that, you know, people coming to the temple and doing sacrifice. When you're just doing things for the fact sake of doing it, that wasn't pleasing to God, right? And we today, though, we don't do, quote, sacrifices as they did in the temple day. How many people have fallen into the trap of, well, I go to church every Sunday, check it off, and I'm pleasing God. But God's saying, no, what it pleases me that you're living the life that I have set forth for you, that you're seeking after me, and that you're learning and growing and being closer to me. Right? We need to think about what God wants of us. Generally speaking, and, you know, we're again going a lot, but overall, He wants us to be closer to Him today than we were yesterday, and to be closer to Him tomorrow than we were today. Right? And how do we do that? Well, we have to make an effort on our part. Right? God is there. Jesus is there. He is there. He has given His word to show us and understand who He is and what His expectations of us are. To you know, how do we become friends with people? We get to know them, right? And so this is what Christ is calling us to do. Paul wrote Thessalonica church. He says, test all things, hold fast to good, abstain from every form of evil. Again, this is our learning process that we understand where we are all. Paul then goes on and points to something that I think Christians today, myself included, have really fallen short of. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Again, speaking of evil, right? In this way of darkness, but rather expose them. I think the key point Paul is talking about here is expose them, right? There is evil and darkness and awful things going on in this world, and I think we're living in a darker time than any time in my lifetime, and not to say that humanity hasn't gone through darker times and periods a lot of times. But I know, far as globally and as far as I'm concerned, we are going through the darkest time I've ever experienced. But what am I doing to expose this darkness? He says darkness here, again, stands for the evil, but they're being done in secret. He says for verse 12, for it is shameful to even speak of these things which are done by them in secret. Much of what we see evil going on in this world is just the surface, right? We see what is evident, what is from the results of things that are going on behind the scenes, right? And much of what is going on behind the scenes is a spiritual war. Right, is the things that we can't physically see, but we, as Christians, we should be able, children of light, should be able to detect and understand this is not normal. This is something undercover or under workings of Satan, and these things are being manifest. And Paul uses that word, at least in the King James. Some other words may be used in other translations. But the word manifest, if you look it up, it's really to clear or observe it to the eye or mind. Make it clear, right? When you manifest something, you make it known, make it clear, make it displayed and shown. And so it's not just enough to avoid the evil of and be responsible and not be a part of it, but we need to, in turn, Paul says, expose it, right? We need to show it for what it is, right? Manifest it. Let others see what we see, because we are children of light. We have the flashlight, if you would. We're shining it on this evil, these things that we see that are going on, and we need to expose it. In other words, show it for what it is, right? And that is our responsibility. Let people know what Satan is going on, is doing, and that these things, you know, I think about the every time there is a shooting or mass shooting, you know, the TV's full or whatever, we need to ban guns and blah, 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 right? It's the same old junk. And what it really is evil, and it works of evil, and you get rid of the guns, and that's a whole different issue, but you get rid of guns, people, the evil's there, and people will kill people and do, you know, the point is we need to recognize, why are these people doing this, right? And it's lack of God, right? It's because this world is giving over to the fact they don't even believe in God. And I'm speaking generally, right? Especially in this country. So again, Paul kind of finishes up. He says, "Wake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light." Okay, so Paul is saying, all right, are you exposing, bringing forth what is going on? Are you calling it out? Wake up. If you're not, wake up and arise from the dead, as he puts it. And he says, Christ will give you the light. He will give you the means to see and understand the things that are going on so we can expose it. Okay? When I was studying this really, you know, and a lot of my messages and sermons are really God's stepping on my toes, and I just get to share it with you, right? And he really convicted me, right? What have I done? What am I doing? Not only not walking in the ways, in some ways I'm not doing so good there, but not walking the ways of darkness and so forth, but what am I doing to expose it, right? Am I really exposed? And I think if we look, the failure of the church today, and I'm speaking the church in America primarily, is the fact that we have gone to sleep, we have failed to expose wickedness and the darkness that is going on in our world. And why we see what we see today is because I think the failure of the church. And then that comes always back to me individually, because I am part of the church, right? And so how have I failed? How have I not called out darkness? Paul wrote to the Roman church, Romans 13, he says, "And do this knowing that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness," he says, "and let us put on the armor of light." We need to understand where we are in history, in the sense as the body of Christ. We are very near the end. And you know, I guess as I was reading this, I'm thinking, you know, someday, and I think very soon, I'm going to be standing before Jesus. And as I stand there, you know, will it be going through my mind is that, Jesus, did I really, with all my heart, mind, and soul, love you in the sense of do everything that I could do for this, the kingdom of God? You know, have I been asleep? Have I just gone? And, you know, we all get trapped into this thing called life, right? We all get into the fact that we're just about trying to make a living. We're trying to provide for our families. We're just trying to get through the next day. And yet, and that's, unfortunately, is so much of our focus, is that we really are not turning and saying, okay, Christ, what am I here for? It's for you. And it's not for, yes, he wants us to provide for our families. He wants us to be, you know, I think he wants us to be happy and wants us to live a life that is comfortable as much as we can. But that is not the end game. The end game is how can we serve Christ? And so, you know, again, the darkness is that is here. You know, look at what's going on, right? This darkness has involved our children. They're innocent. We have an institution, schools, and basically everywhere saying there is no God, right? We just happen to be here. We just evolved from something, or, you know, from a Big Bang Theory, all this junk, right? What have we done? We have remained silent, right? Well, that's not what I believe. Are we teaching our children, grandchildren, the truth that God is the creator of all things, right? And what about the sexual depravity that's being spread to our children, not only in our schools, but it's just filled with the TV, right? The junk that's going on, and these kids are just so screwed up, they don't know, you know, am I a girl or a boy, or is it cool to be this? They just want to be wanted and happy and liked, and so, you know, they're getting so many mixed messages, they don't know what to think, right? What are we doing? You know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, well, how can these kids, that, you know, think that they're a boy when they're a girl, blah, blah, blah. What am I doing to change it, right? What am I doing to help the situation? We got babies, right, killed in the womb. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of them. Well, what do? We keep voting in politicians that outright willing to compromise. You know, well, you know, we can allow it up to this point. No, it's killing babies, right? Am I speaking out? Am I right, my congressman? Am I, you know? And I'm going to pick on this, too, since it just passed. And I may hurt some of your feelings, or, you know, I'm sorry. It's just a conviction God has given me, and okay. But we just got through one of the biggest holidays of our country, Halloween, right? And what is it? It's a celebrate, ultimately. It's really to celebrate the underworld, and making it a myth. It is very real, right? The spirit world is very real, right? And I know, hey, I grew up going and trick-or-treating, and I went Halloween, and, you know, I understand it. But what do we do but dumb it down in the sense of, you know, witches and evil spirits, all that's just fun stuff to play, right? It's not real. It is very real, right? There are actually people who are witches and people who put spells on people, you know? And what do, right? Well, we try to compromise as the churches, and we have trunk or treats and all that. To me, you know, I don't have an answer. But again, do we realize, do we think, do we understand look at the deep things of the situation. On the surface, it's just fun. It's fun for the kids. But that's on the surface, right? What's deep down is something very serious. And I mean, I got my own grandkids doing it. So, it's just one of those things. And I don't mean to God's got to convict your heart if that needs to be. He just has mine. We got colleges, right? We got colleges producing students that hate America, promote communism, really, right? This communism that they celebrate has literally killed millions of their own people for the power of communism, right? But do the kids hear this? No. Why aren't we teaching them the truth, right? As we have the opportunity. And look at the protests over Israel, right? These colleges are celebrating the slaughter of women and children and babies and the nasty things that these people, Hamas, did or whatever. It's sickening. And people in these colleges are celebrating it. What has happened? They are in such darkness that they do not see and understand the truth, right? So what do we do, you know? Well, first of all, I don't know what we can do, but as a pastor, first of all, I want to say publicly and as it will be put up on the webpage, I stand with Israel, right? I stand with Israel. And I understand they are still God's nation. They're still God's people. And those who turn their back on God's people will wreak the wrath of God. Okay? I believe what the Bible says about it. When you bless Israel, God will bless you. Okay? As nations. I condemn the killing of babies in the womb. Okay? I condemn it. And I want to give the effort of people who are trying to take these dear children and women who want abortions and trying to share the truth to them. And when I want to support that, and I have to some extent, right? It's a tragedy. I want us, as a pastor, to for us as family, to think hard and long about where do we send our kids to school, right? And I know it is, me and Lisa go through this with our grandkids, and how can we can't afford to send them somewhere other than public schools and some of them right now. And what do we do? You know, maybe we need to do the best we can while we do have them, right? Encourage the parents to teach them other what the schools are teaching them. I don't have answers to all these things. I just know that we are people of light and understand what's going on. God, show us, help us understand what we can do. And we can't do it all, right? But God can guide us and direct us into the things that we can do. You know, we got smut on the TV and you know, the junk that's going on in our churches, the turning our back on the Bible, the Word of God, you know, I'm going to speak up about it. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to get away from it. I think I made a stand with that to a certain extent, but I'm still going to continue to step out and to expose the evil that's going on. And I guess my appeal to each and every one of us here today, as you have opportunity and the things that you can make a difference, try to expose what's going on. It's our responsibility, right? As Paul points it out. And have no fellowship, if you would, with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, you know, don't be a part of it, right? Get away from it and expose it. I'll just leave these words in Psalm 1:1-3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but is delight in the law of the Lord, and his law is and meditates it day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by a river of water, that brings forth the fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also will not wither. As children of God, as enlightened children of God, our job is to follow Jesus in the way that we should, and again, speak up, step out, be brave. And it's hard. I know it's hard, but this is what God is calling us to do.